Welcome to The Mountain Gardener with your host, Ken Lane. Gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and local advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
And welcome to this week's edition of The Mountain Gardener. Your host, Ken Lane, here every week talking about the landscapes of northern Arizona. And what a week. Lots of rain this week. Actually, it was kind of awkward in the way. Definitely autumn weather kind of this week. Felt good. So Tuesday, Wednesday, what was that? Lots of rain. In fact, we had a garden tour of our gardens, our personal gardens at our home. And rain does not help. It's a full-on native landscape in the back, actually mostly in the front too. And all that rain, I mean, you get Russian sage, salvias, with a whole bunch of rain, they just look like they're drunk, stumbling around in the landscape. They're falling over, kind of limp. I can't use any more water. The good thing is your junipers, the pine trees, the fall color, they're gonna love this instantly. You'll see by next week, it'll be full autumn everywhere because the days are shorter. So a lot of this is day parts. So how much sunlight do the plants receive through photosynthesis? And as they perceive that it's getting shorter, they just go, oh, it must be autumn. We're going to turn color now. Well, the days have been getting shorter, and then it's cloud cover for half a week. And it's going, well, there's less sun. I must be ready time. Turn color now. The other one that will fit, that kind of ignites them, is cold. And so the evening temperatures are another, soil temperatures, another type of variable. And so this coming week, it looks like we get a little frost. Could be our first frost. You folks up in the upper elevations, for sure, you're going to see frost. I don't know how fast. It'll probably be just a quick dip. So it'll take out your tomatoes, your peppers, your vegetable gardens will be vaporized this coming week, it looks like. Get those frost covers and blankets ready because frost is coming. Again, these first few frost, the end of October, first of November, they're very quick. And so they don't do a lot of damage. And if you can get that frost and have it float on top of that frost cover, the plant stays alive. There's lots of warmth in the soil underneath that protection, underneath that covering. So it just kind of radiates moisture, heat up underneath that. So you don't get a lot of damage if you know to cover it. If you don't, your plants take, the foliage takes all of that frost that lights on top, and it burns those, that top layer of foliage off at least. Your regular landscape plants, don't even worry about them. They don't care. I mean, your aspens and your apple trees and your pine trees and those crepe myrtles and lilacs, they're fine. They go down to negative 0 degrees. They get plenty of antifreeze in them. If we've had some rain, it keeps them moist. They're fine. But all those summer blooming plants, the summer fruiting vegetables, those are the ones that are in danger of having frost damage. And it's about time for them to go anyway. Typically we say Halloween, we're going to see our first frost. Well, now we're 2 weeks early. Okay, well, that's for some of us. You folks at the lower elevations, I don't think you're going to see frost yet. You've got a few more weeks. Just be ready. It should be on your, it is autumn. It's when this stuff happens. I'm actually kind of excited. I told all the buyers, I said, load up on pansies. Get lots of snapdragons. We need kale. So it's just all this ornamental stuff that summer flower is going to be vaporized. They'll turn to black mush like overnight. And then your containers, your raised beds, all that kind of stuff will look terrible. And so you'll pull all that stuff out. And now you'll have these empty holes all over the yard. And so you want to put pansies and snapdragons and dusty millers. There's a whole series of plants that love the cold. They love everything about autumn and early winter and winter and spring. They love all of that. So you plant those now and they just fill in. I planted some pansies like a week, 2 weeks ago. I had some succession plant. I've had several, planted quite a few dozens of them. And they're already doubled in size. I mean, they just love everything about autumn. This is when they shine. And for those of you that are in the colder regions, say Idaho, Wyoming, the Midwest, the northern part, northern New York, where it just gets cold. I mean, why would you live there in winter? I have no idea. There you plant pansies, kale, ornamental stocks, calendula. There's all kinds of plants you can plant now. There, they actually will die off in the winter. It gets so cold. The frost line, there's actually ice that forms in the top layers of the soil. Well, we don't do that here. I mean, it's rare that we do that. And so the plants just keep on growing and thriving here. So you can have color all winter long. Most years, once every, 12, 15 years, we go like it's a real winter, where it really gets cold, but that's so rare. I just can't remember the last time that happened. So we just plant up. So I'm planting up now and replacing some of those things. The geraniums, they're all gone. The zinnias, I pulled them all up. They're added to the compost pile. The all those summer blooming plants, the tomatoes, they were not producing. I picked the last one. I said, okay, you're looking kind of ugly anyway. You're out. And so you're putting your spinach and lettuce and broccoli and cauliflower. Yeah, the ornamental kales, those are all, they love the cool nights. The flavor comes out of those. So we're into this transition season. One thing I'm struggling with, the javelina are in my front flower beds right by the street, right there by the mailbox, where you can't keep them out. You can't fence them out. I fenced them out of the entire yard except for this one little strip, and they're digging up the yard. They're driving me crazy. I get this beautiful cedar bark all over the front landscape bed, and they're just tossing it. They're turning it over, and I know what's going on. They're after my grubs, so I obviously have grubs or worms or something. Probably it's grubs. That's one of their main protein sources. So they're digging. They're rototilling this soil just to get the grubs. So what am I going to do? I'm going to put a grub killer down in that area. I'm going to fertilize those plants. I'm also probably going to shock and awe them. So I'm going to kill the grubs so I get rid of the food so they can't find it. So there's nothing for them to dig for. They're just out of fun. I mean, they're there quickly, see if there's any morsels, then they move on. I want them to move on to your yard or my neighbor's yards, not stick around in mine. And then what I'll also do after I get rid of the grubs, I'll also put a repellent down. So there's a repels all. There's a granular type of animal repellent. It's good on deer, and squirrels, pack rats, rabbits, that kind of stuff. But it also has, I'm surprised at how effective it is on javelina. You put it down where they're rooting around, they get it up in their nose and going, oh, this is nasty. What is going on? This is not what I remember. Okay, let's move down the street, Fred. Let's go dig up the neighbor's yard. That looks like easier digging down there. And so I'll just kind of get them to move on. Otherwise, they get brazen. They learn the weaknesses of your gardens. They start attacking you at multiple angles. And I don't want that. So I've trained them to stay away. I don't want to train them to come on in and eat the rest of it. So that's kind of my struggles kind of this week. Is that, and I stabbed myself. Oh, not on purpose. Hey, don't call whatever you're going to call for. I was pruning some vines back that were so aggressive. I had a dull knife. I slipped and stabbed my arm. Stupid Ken. Come on, Ken. You know better than this. Come on. And it was a rusty blade. I just cleaned, like, open manure bags with it. I mean, just the worst possible thing you could possibly have. Stuck myself. So your skin's going open. I didn't want stitches, so I just took a butterfly Band-Aid, brought it together. 2 days later, it's fine. Went down to Vitality Health. My doctor stuck me with a little bit of antibiotics. Got my tetanus shot. So got all that going. So my arm's a little sore. I don't know the last time you had a tetanus shot. You're supposed to have those every 10 years. If you're in my industry, probably at least every 10 years. Because we do live in this, we just deal with tools and yards, and it's rusty metals and manures. Those kind of two things cause lockjaw or tetanus. So I kind of got both of those covered. So one of those stupid things in the gardens, I didn't cut off my finger or anything, just stabbed my arm with a knife. Not still kind of sore, but healing over just fine. Lots going on in the gardens this week at the Lane Casas. Got a lot in store for you. Lots of garden tips, tricks, and garden advice after these important messages.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him every week for timely garden advice right for the gardens. Visit Ken where he can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
Waters' October companion plants that grow well together are Blaze Maples, Burning Bush, Arizona Creeper, Glamour Kale, and Spicy Mum.
Waters' Spicy Mums are best sellers for super long bloom times and local garden tough.
Spicy Mums glow yellow with a halo of fiery orange around each daisy flower.
These big, bold perennials are perfectly shaved and add color in autumn when few flowers are in peak bloom. And just $9.
You'll find bright fall flowers here at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
If life is a bowl of cherries, why not make them the biggest, sweetest cherries ever?
Waters Garden Center is super excited to introduce our new organic fruit and vegetable plant food.
This fertilizer has the bonus of added calcium that gives fruit trees and veggies an extra boost to produce healthy, abundant crops.
Feed your plants now to help them thrive and grow more fruits than ever. And just $27 for a 20-pound bag.
Save natural, organic, fruit and vegetable plant food only at Waters Garden Center. You've been listening to Ken Lane, the Mountain Gardener. Green thumbs learned while working in the Family Garden Center. Now welcome back to the Mountain Gardener.
Okay, we are back with Lisa Waters Lane in the studio. She comes each week with your garden questions. Just what are people talking about? What are your neighbors talking about? And she comes and shares that with us over the airwaves. So welcome to the studio, Lisa.
Thank you. Yep. Good to be back, as always.
Every week, for years, for decades at this point, been doing this a long time. Yes. So it's kind of fun. So looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. So how are your gardens, little girl?
You really want
there's an intro. There's a pickup line.
Little lady.
That was anyway. What kind of garden questions we got?
Sure. So we got Phil has a question. He wants to know, why are you pushing fertilizer for plants and trees this time of year when things are going to be going dormant soon? They're going to be going to sleep. Right. And second part of his question is he's used to getting a winterizer fertilizer that specifically says winterizer. And ours doesn't say that. Ours all purpose. So he wants to know what's up.
So, okay. So commercially, a winterizer, so the industry has determined, fertilizer is good in the winter. We'll make a special formula and call it winterizer fertilizer. It's a cool season release. It will become available to the plant while the soil is cool. Mm-hmm. There's two types of fertilizer, summer fertilizer, winter fertilizer. If you're dealing with chemicals, so petroleum-based products, your chemical fertilizers like your Orthos, your Scotts, your Peters, all these, the name brands, they'll make two varieties. The summer one doesn't work in the winter. Winter one doesn't work in the summer. So you got to have two.
Okay.
That's why they've got two varieties. It works in the winter well because plants are actually extending root growth. They're actually storing up energy right now in their root zone to get through winter. So these plants aren't really going dormant. They're just shifting their energy from the top to the bottoms of the plant. Mm-hmm. And so if you know that, if you give them a little bit of food, they can do that even better. They can be even more robust. So if they have a real harsh winter, they can get through more. Mainly you're fertilizing now for spring next year. The plants will use the food that they pick up right now that you're putting on the ground right now. That's what's going to form next year's flower and leaf buds with. Critical for spring blooming plants like lilacs and forsythia and quince and rhododendrons and azaleas. You can go on and on. And even more critical for things that are edible. Fruit trees, grapes, berries, all those brambles, pomegranates. They need that to form next spring's flower bud. Okay, what's the difference between our fertilizer? It doesn't say winterizer. First of all, Phil, thank you for reading and listening. So I know it's a great question. But basically, organics are totally a different. They're more natural. And so plants prefer an organic fertilizer, not just the plants, but your soil prefers organic fertilizer. So if you're putting down chemicals, let's say a 10-10-10 or 15-15-15 type of winterizer,
Your worms are not happy with that. Your plants are happy with that, but your worms hate that. Mm-hmm. Your mycorrhizal colonies, the things that are living, breathing in the soil that work in symbiotic relationship with that plant, they actually don't like it. So you need to actually put organics down. Even more so in the mountains of Arizona, where our topsoil is so tiny, so thin, yeah. Razor's edge, that you can, a little bit of chemical fertilizer can do a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. And so now your plants become super dependent on you and that fertilizer because you just killed off all your worms. You won't find any if you're using chemicals all the time. Whereas organics, you'll see the population increase. They work together and the plant can pick it up. It releases over a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. It works in the summer and in the winter. So it's a cool season and a warm season. Organics are the way to go. And I would say we make our own here at Waters Garden Center. Use the 744 all-purpose plant food. If you're doing organic a vegetable garden, we make a fruit and vegetable food. It's a little different formula with lots and lots of calcium. So that food is better for your edible things or anything that blooms. But that calcium brings out the flavor and increases the size of those plants. So you get larger flowers, which means more bigger fruits. Mm-hmm. So did I cover all the bases?
I think so.
I could go into the science of how it interacts with the layers of the plant as well, but too much over the airwaves.
We'll pass on that for another time. All right. Kathy is looking for a fast-growing tree or shrub that will get at least 5 feet wide, but no more than 8 feet tall to block an ugly electrical box. But she doesn't want to block her view, but block sure. the box. Say that yeah. three times fast.
Yeah, I know. That's a hard one. So electrical boxes and water meters and that kind of stuff, yes, they are hideous. Why they put those things right out there as a big old wart on the corner of the streets of things, I don't know. Yeah. Because electricians, I won't put all of my electrician friends down.
It's like, don't go
That's
there,
bad, but
don't go there.
We got hundreds of years of history where we just plop things into the yard. Eventually, we'll get better where things are underground or better looking.
Right.
But yes, you can use some plants to hide those very, very easily, at least from the living room windows and that kind of stuff. So you can help me out with this. I don't know. We're going with Eleagnus or Silverberry.
Sure.
Could easily. In fact, that's a native. Mm-hmm. It's got blue and gold on the same plant. It almost has the color. It takes on the color of a electrical box. So it hides it really well. Nandina. Cotoneaster. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them. Junipers. Here's one you got to come in and see us.
Privets,
sure. Boxwoods. Mm-hmm. We'll do that. There's a lot of them.
Euonymus.
Yeah, we could go on and on and on. So we've got plenty. Come see us. Yeah. And you can plant those now.
Sure.
In fact, I would encourage plant now so it has time to root out and then it'll grow next spring and that thing will disappear after next mm-hmm. spring's growth. So right. It's a good time to plant.
Good. All right. Well, Jesse planted a red fountain grass in her yard.
Yeah.
She says it's big and beautiful, but a neighbor told her they will not winter over. And she wants to know, is that true?
So if you're up in the mountains above Black Canyon City, that is true. It's not going to live. It's an annual grass. Mm-hmm. So it's purple fountain grass or red fountain grass, it's this beautiful purple flowering type of grass up to about just shy of hip high or so. Mm-hmm. It's very pretty, grows very fast, blooms a long time, but it will not come back. It won't even seed. It won't even come back by seed. It won't come back ever. So we do sell them at the garden center as annuals. We put them up with the annual flowers mm-hmm. and veggies. We don't pretend that they are perennial plants. Right. They'll come back every year. We have a whole series of grasses that do come back. Yeah. Most of our grasses come back year after year. This is a great place to grow ornamental types of grasses.
Sure.
So from pampas grass to we have a red curly grass, coral forester grass, bunny grass. There's tons of cute little grasses.
Blonde ambition,
a native. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So plant those if that frustrates you, or just come in next, I don't know, April, May after the frost. We'll sell you another one and just enjoy it as what it is. It's a pretty fast growing purple grass that you plant every year.
Mm-hmm. That's one of those, be aware of what you're planting.
Yeah. Yeah. Same with cacti. Well, cactus. Oh, yeah. If you put cactus out there, so many people move, mainly from the Midwest. It seems like they got this fantasy of the Southwest. They got their turquoise and orange for sofa. They got their cowboy hats, and you can tell it's dime store, you know, type stuff. And they want cactus in their yard. They want to go all Southwest, and they have cutouts of javelina boards out there in the yard. And they'll go, where are your cactus? Well, they don't. There aren't not very many that grow up here. There's the prickly pear. There's the choya. There, then that's it.
Right.
Well, where are my other ones? Good. There aren't any other ones. But I want cactus. You can't have them. How about yuccas and agaves? How right. about Spanish daggers and some mm-hmm. of these spiky things? They have Southwestern, but they're not cactus. Well, I want cactus. And so they go to Phoenix, buy cactus. They'll put $1,000 of cactus, come up the hill, mm-hmm. plant them. And in the winter, they turn to mush, black, and they fall over and die. I'm going, why'd they die? Because they're not. They're annuals up here. They don't take our cold. Didn't you listen? Slap. Anyway.
They'll learn.
They'll learn. That's called gardening. You'll learn by making mistakes. Hopefully you're making mistakes in the right direction. Right. We are out of time. Ken and Lisa Lane, the Mounted Gardeners. Be right back after this.
You're listening to Ken Lane, a.k.a. the Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week in Prescott at Waters Garden Center. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain gardens.
I used to be cocky and actually dared to beat the big boxes at their own game. Since the beginning, we were known for the very best plants in town. But with youthful ambition, we added a line of inferior plants, contractor grade, that matched the box stores and beat their prices. We failed miserably. The plants were side by side. Waters hand-picked quality at the higher price and the inferior plants at the lower price with astounding results. The inferior plants, not bad quality, just not full and nice, were still there a month later. The hand-picked quality plants, they had been restocked twice and the bench was empty again. The youthful cockiness, it's tempered and with age comes wisdom and knowing who you really are. Waters Garden Center doesn't compete with the marts and the boxes. We simply grow the very best plants our family is famous for. We will never offer inferior plants. Cross my heart. Pinky swear. Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road, here in Prescott.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Join the conversation every week as he answers timely garden questions. Email Ken a question directly from your phone to his desktop through the web at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com. Now welcome back your host, Ken Lane.
There is something. So I've been getting ready for a garden tour at our house. So Friday we had a very, let me show you our gardens. We never let anyone into our gardens. So we did a virtual tour, answered garden questions at the end. So you get to see the whole landscape, the philosophy, how we put it together, how it's meant to be viewed from above, from the decks and the patios, not to look up to it. So it's how the privacy, how we converted lawns to patios, and just that whole sequence, how we attract birds. And so we've been under the gun to get things looking really good. Not the way to do a lot, just things are overgrown. And so we put a little bit of shredded bark down and pruned to keep things a haircut, and that was it. And fertilized, only because... well, the time is right. And so we put down in my yard, I started with humic, H-U-M-I-C, humic, only because this is one of the hardest gardening years I have ever seen in the mountains of Arizona. You went from bone dry for 2 years, drought. You had a heavy snow last, what was it, end of January, first part of February. The gardens were buried. I couldn't think of a worse time to have a heavy snow hit your gardens, to go from dry to now it's buried under 3 feet of snow for 3-4 weeks, and the plants literally are rotting underneath. They can't take the moisture up. They're in slow motion. So they're not using a lot of water then, just very little, and yet we buried them in moisture, this melting snow. So to give you a perspective, 3 feet of snow. So for every 6 inches of snow, there's approximately, it equates to 1 inch of water. And so we had a lot of water hit the mountains of Arizona last, the end of January, first of February. Well, that was hard on plants. And then you went from dry to dry again to, oh my gosh, we've had record moisture. So the fluctuations on these plants, they're having a hard time. And so I wanted to start with humec. Humec, what that does, it helps stressed out plants. It helps plants to grow longer, additional, deeper roots. It feeds your worm population. It feeds your mycorrhizal colonies. It increases the activity within the soil so that when plants see that activity, they go, whoa, something's, plants, there's something going on. I should root here because look how active the soil is. And they start to root out longer, stronger, deeper. And so humec helps plants to recover from stress by adding roots. I really need that. I'm even seeing my natives. I really focused on my native trees. I've got some big junipers. I've got an ancient juniper we've pruned up. This thing is a piece of art, hundreds of years old. If I lose it, cannot be replaced in my lifetime or your kids' lifetime. In this century, can't be replaced. So I don't want to lose it. And so they're stressed out like everything else has. So I just sprinkled this humec underneath the drip line, those outer branches, so that it can encourage that new growth. I'm seeing flagging, or the tips of my juniper starting to die off. That means it's being attacked. It's being attacked by a tip borer, probably. There's a little tiny beetle that likes the taste of junipers, and it starts at the tips, and it just works its way, burrows its way back into the trunk of this tree, and then kills it. This is serious. It's really serious, and hard to correct once the damage is done. Well, I caught it early. Just spotted it this week. So I started with humec, then I'll treat it with a plant protector. I'll fertilize it and the plant will just be fine. I'll kind of watch the watering, if we get a real dry spell this winter or next year, I'll just kind of top it once a month. I'll give it some moisture. It won't be a lot, but I'll just try to baby. I'll garden on my natives as well. If you've got ponderosas, a beautiful pinyon pine, cliff rose, hackberry, any of these native plants, and you want to really keep them healthy, I'm putting the humec on, and then right afterwards, while I have the hand spreader out, I'm putting down all-purpose plant food, the 744 all-purpose plant food, and then it rained. I mean, the timing was perfect. Oh my gosh. So that didn't make the gardens look better on film for a garden tour. It just made me feel better about taking care of my landscapes. And so everything was fertilized. And you should do the same by the end of October. But I'm trying to keep that color up, trying to keep the health going, trying to encourage deeper, stronger roots on those plants. And then it just happened to look really good on film. So I think you can find that. I'm not actually sure. It just happened yesterday. So I'll look for that by next week. I'll share with you where you can pick up a link to our garden tour, to our garden. So that's worthy of sharing. You can have simply stunning landscapes that don't take a lot of water, that take virtually no care. Prune it a couple times a year. That's it. And then it's just always on stage. And so we used the native plants that are already showing on the landscape, and we just accessorized or added to that to make this beautiful display, this beautiful garden. It's not all rocked over with a boulder and a tree. We're talking actually it's landscaped. Not I never want to see a weed again. That's not landscaping. I like cruise ships. This is full-on gardens where you go, whoa, I like butterflies and hummingbirds and relaxing and sunsets. It looks like that. So I'll share more with you. We got more in store for you, but we have Lisa Waterslane coming in with her segment right after this.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for timely garden advice right for higher elevations. Guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season. Gardens help awake our creative spirit and connect us to aspirations, family, and dreams.
Dreams of a better life, a better home, and better health.
Sometimes the best way we connect with ourselves is to temporarily disconnect from our electronics.
Gardens become a quiet refuge.
Plant a new flower bed, pick some fresh herbs from the garden, and they lend themselves to waves of beautiful color that naturally evolve through our four seasons.
A beautiful garden speaks to its gardener with a power that eludes the electronic equivalent.
Text and email messages are of this world, busy and disruptive and often filled with stresses.
gardens, however, are an attempt to transcend from the hectic life to one that becomes meaningful and cherished.
Waters is a place of rest and peace for the creative soul.
Be inspired and plant some of your own peace and rest with plants from Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
For people who love to be refreshed in the garden, they love to shop.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening is very rewarding, with a few of Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts sure to turn your thumbs even greener. Now welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
Okay, so we're back with Lisa Waters Lane in the studio. She comes each week with your garden question. Not garden question. That was the last segment. This is just all your segment.
Keep up, man.
I'm focused on the trucks outside.
I know.
So
you can hear
hopefully
her.
You don't pick that up on the radio. But the studio's at the garden center.
Yeah.
They are unloading large conifers. If you've been looking for big spruce and big pine, big stuff, mm-hmm. The semi is parked out there and you might hear a ruckus with forklifts, equipment, and tractors because they're big.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. It's like a circus here. It's so fun running a small business by yourself. So you get to market, get to hang out with your lovely bride of 34 years in a small room for an hour. And then you get to go unload trucks. And then I'll probably be an electrician or plumber by the end of the day.
Sure.
I sweep. I do everything.
You sweep?
I don't sweep.
Okay.
I get blowers for sweepers.
Be honest.
Yeah. I was changing light bulbs. So we're changing everything out to LED lights inside the store because commercial properties, they use a lot of power. So just converting everything over to, lower consumption kind of stuff, save some money. And they last longer. So you don't have to change them out as much. So anyway, if you hear a ruckus in the background, now everyone's tuned in to,
can I
hear the truck? can I hear them unloading? What's going on? Anyway, back to the, welcome, Lisa.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
What do you got for us?
I am going to hit you up first with a couple of PSA announcements for people.
Me or the audience?
The audience, you, whoever's listening, the dogs.
I'm tuned in.
The horse across the way. So if you looked at the forecast for this coming week.
I know, yes. It looks like our first frost is coming a week or two early.
A little early this year.
Yeah.
But it kind of gets cold for a couple of days and then it goes back up to kind of normal temperatures. So just a heads up for you people that really have something in your yard you kind of want to protect. Like we have a beautiful pot right now that has calibrachoa and some salvia and different things in it. And I really want to keep it looking pretty because it's just gorgeous. So my plan is, well, you can either take it inside, you can put it in a garage, but it's kind of heavy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cover ours with some frost cloth.
Brilliant.
Which is a super product to have on hand. It's lightweight. It's reusable. So you're paying for it up front, but you're going to reuse it for year after year. So much easier to use than trying to drag out a big old blanket or sheet. And then much better than the black plastic or plastic bags that everybody thinks, I'll just throw a bag over it. Well, that's a good way to kill anything. So the frost cloth is an excellent product to use out. If you've got lettuce, I never interrupt you. If you've got lettuces, kales, things like that, that you want to protect as well, it's perfect for that.
So the secret with, if you're a gardener in the mountains of Arizona, you need some frost cloth. You need two or three big sheets of frost cloth because you're going to use it in the mountains. So you'll use it early spring and this time of year.
Right.
And it's an extender. It helps you get started early. But the secret with frost protection is breathable and light.
Right.
And that's why the frost cloth and frost cloth is white. So it allows light to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't suffocate your plants with too much weight. Plastics do not breathe. Don't use that. It does more damage than good. Right. And then I would say another mistake is don't leave it on the plant.
Yeah.
Take it off during the day so the plants can see the sunlight.
Yeah.
It'll really, really help you.
Right. It's
help
not,
them.
You don't want to cover it and leave it on for the next winter. You use it temporarily at night to cover, then take it off. Definitely. So that's number one PSA. Number two is, we got 18 pallets of pottery.
I know. That's exciting.
So if you've been waiting for that new pottery load, it is here. It's not all unloaded yet. So have patience, but it's here and we're going to be getting it out and displaying it. And it will be beautiful. This is a great time if you're looking for match sets. different sizes all in a set, same color. This is the optimum time to be purchasing those.
The 2022 pottery is in. We got two big loads coming and a few smaller loads. Mm-hmm. But if you've got that new house, you want matching pairs. Pottery is not something you just go, oh, I'll order another one. I'll get it online. You're not going to get this online. It's too heavy to ship. It's coming from Asia. Ours are coming from Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And the styles, the colors are unique. Mm-hmm. And so we only have limited. It's not like we go mass produce thousands of these. No, there's 100 sets. We got three of them. Right. And the rest are for the rest of the country. These are pieces of art. And so you've got an opportunity when they arrive, you've got opportunity, and then they start getting picked over. So then people are going, "But last week I saw matching pairs." I'm going, "Well, that was last week, and we have 35,000 customers we help in a year. So you don't wait."
Yeah, and the other thing about our pottery is it is winter hardy.
Right. Yeah.
It's not going to deteriorate. It's not going to flake and crack. It'll take our winters just fine.
You know, I think too, as this frost comes down and takes over, my phone's going nuts here. I gotta like turn it off real quick. So it's my forklift operator's going, "Hey, I heard you had a broken forklift." He's trying to get a hold of me. Dang it, while you're on the show. Anyway, I'll call him right after this. Mm-hmm. Where was I going with that? Oh,
I don't know.
The frost was coming. Mm-hmm. It'll obliterate a lot of your plants. But if you've got pretty pots, they look good with or without plants. They're like pieces of
color
out there.
In the yard. Yeah. So my third PSA.
Three PSAs.
Yes. Gosh. So I don't have them yet, but next week we're getting pansy baskets in.
Oh,
hanging
nice.
Baskets. The wonderful thing about that is you people that fight the javelina and the bunnies and that kind of stuff that want to eat everything in your yard, and you're like, "Well, I can't have pansies because the javelina eat them."
Yeah.
Hang them up. They can't get to them. So we have, I think, 30 or 40 pansy baskets coming
in.
So keep those in mind when you think about your winter and fall. We'll just call it fall decorating at this point.
Should we just be honest?
Okay.
As garden center owners, we're happy for the frost because it obliterates all those summer plants, gets rid of the overgrowth, mm-hmm. and then you're going to feel your gardens are going to be ugly, and you're going to want to plant pansies and mums and snapdragons mm-hmm. and all this fall, winter stuff. And it's a good time to plant those.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, having a frost early is actually ideal because it gets rid of the weak or the overgrown. But there's still enough season left to have those winter, fall blooming plants to mm-hmm. fill in and look good.
Right.
So it'll be ugly this week in the gardens, but I think it'll play out well for the true gardeners that are out there. It'll play mm-hmm. out well.
Well, you know what? I have a plant that I will show you.
Oh, yeah.
That will be beautiful, right? It'll be beautiful right now. It'll be beautiful a month from now. It'll be gorgeous 2 to 3 months from now. So this is Rainbow Ascot Euphorbia. Cool plant.
Yeah.
I love this plant. So it's animal resistant. Critters aren't going to touch it at all. Very, very drought hardy. About the only way to kill it is overwatering it.
Yeah.
And it's evergreen. And then as you go into fall and winter, that green and cream color gets more of a pink or blush color to it. It is so pretty. Wonderful in pots, wonderful in the ground. Very versatile little plant.
In the mountains of Arizona, a euphorbia and succulents and cacti, mm-hmm. agaves, yuccas, they're all kind of that same ilk. They all, mm-hmm. they're super drought hardy because they hold so much foliage, moisture in their foliage. But this one has a lot of antifreeze in it too, so it doesn't freeze back. And so it's probably one of my favorite plants this year. I've had a favorite every year since we planted a lot of these in the yard this year.
I may have gone a little overboard.
No, because it's so bright. So our gardens are so mature anymore. It's so dark. This bright color looks so good. Mm-hmm. This is where it really pays to be tuned in during the vlog piece of this. So we're videotaping and recording this. Mm-hmm. So for the radio folks, you should be jealous. Or you should pull over. I don't know. Can you even have live stream? Get the camera out on your phone or something? I don't know.
Good question.
Huh.
The other great thing about that is in, I think about March, it blooms.
Yeah.
Just a bright chartreuse green, gorgeous, that stays for 2 months or more.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So definitely come check out this
What plant. Is it again? One more time.
It's a rainbow ascot euphorbia.
Where can you buy that?
Waters Garden Center.
There you go.
So the other one, I think I have just a minute. I wanted to
Not
show
even.
You.
You've got like 15 seconds.
So this is false plumbago. If you're looking for a ground cover with good fall color, this is amazing. It gives you a beautiful bronzy orange color in the fall. And look at those flowers, that blue. You don't find that everywhere.
So. Okay, we're out of time. Thanks, okay. Lise. You can keep going on and on. You're on a roll today. Ken and Lisa Lane, the Mountain Gardeners, but we are out of time. Be right back after this.
Look for more tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts through Ken's website. Podcast the show, read his weekly garden column, or follow him on Facebook and Instagram at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com. Waters October companion plants that grow well together are Burning Bush, Spicy Mums, Glamour Kale, and Red Fox Sedge.
Fox Sedge has striking clumps of red foliage that fades to phlox, giving off a warm glow.
An attractive foliage effect in container gardens, perennial beds, and fountain accents.
A good choice in poor draining pockets along dry stream beds and beside large landscape boulders.
You'll find foxy red grasses, just $17, here at Waters Garden Center.
Google, give me directions to Waters Garden Center.
Waters October companion plants that grow well together are Burning Bush, Arizona Creeper, Spicy Mums, Glamour Kale, and Prescott Blaze Maple.
Prescott Blaze Maples have extreme growth of 3 feet or more each year.
The fall color glows like embers in a blaze hot fire, thus the name.
There's no better red maple to plant locally.
Perfect for patios or any place shade is needed. And a big bold tree is just $149.
You'll find the best fall shade trees here at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
Welcome to the Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane. Gardening in the mountains is different. Listen to Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts guaranteed to make your gardens more beautiful than ever this year. Now for better advice that works locally, welcome your host, Ken Lane.
So I had shared at the beginning of the show that I was having trouble with javelina. That's kind of our nemesis. We're up in that Eagle Ridge, Prescott Lakes, kind of above the high school here in Prescott, Arizona. And those are wild pigs. Not a real pig. It's a pickery or something like that. It's a pig-like thing. It's got a snout and it digs everything up. Just they're smaller than a wild hog. So they only get up to maybe 100 pounds, a little less. Hogs, I've got friends in the South. They've got hogs, like 400 or 500 pound beasts. They come and tear up the entire nursery. How do you deal with that? We're not dealing with that. But javelina, they can do some damage. So in the backyard, we've got them fenced. So a six foot cedar fence the HOA allows us to have. And that's mainly for the dogs. And so you got a cedar fence with some dogs. That's going to keep most of your rabbits, javelina, deer. They're not going to try to jump that. And it's all native back there. So we're using things that they naturally don't like, not because the animals can get through all this, but mainly because they're low care. So cliff rose, animals don't eat those, but they look pretty and they're a native. Apache plume, it's got this white flower with these little tiny plumes on it. It'll shrub about, I don't know, chest high, hip high, something like that. Cute little thing. Animals don't eat that. And so we've got all kinds of sumacs and all kinds of rustic, native, pretty landscape plants in the back. In the front, it's more garden-esque. So we're gardeners, and we need a space in our yard that's high touch, that needs high water, needs high care, lots of flower and color, and just it needs to be touched and gardened with to really keep it thriving. This is when our containers filled with flowers are at, the butterfly bushes, the salvias. A lot of these are very hardy, but I like sipping coffee and deadheading flowers. It's therapy for me. I like sitting down, reading the paper on the front patio sofa and watching the hummingbirds go into the fountains. It's just a place where it's smaller. It's not the whole yard, and it's defined, but it needs to be gardened. And we've designed it so that it needs to be gardened more so we feel better. The backyard, we can throw a party like tomorrow. Looks fantastic, and we don't have to do a thing. It always looks like this. It's not as high touch, not as high colored, but it is designed or gardened for pollinators. So butterflies and bumblebees and your hummingbirds, they all like this, the gardens. We don't feed them. They're just naturally attracted to this. The javelina can get to the front yard. This is where the high touch stuff is. So out front, what we do is we put an electric fence and I spray paint it, camo it, so you can't see it. It's a wire. It's a 12-volt wire. You're not going to electrocute anything. It's just 12 volts. You could stick your tongue to it. I wouldn't encourage that, but it'd be a little stronger than a 9-volt battery kind of thing. But as a kid, we used to, with my cousins, we all dare each other. Like you'd grab your cousin, then you grab the wire. The juice would go through you and shock them. You'd just have fun. Just stupid things kids do. But it was farm fun is what it was. So they zip the nose of a javelina and they just go, oh, I'm not going here. That's spooky. Let's go eat the neighbors. You're trying to discourage them. So I do that through the gardens. I don't enclose the garden. I just have a wire going through it. So it discourages them from, you know, go around, just go around us, eat the neighbors. And then we put plants in that generally they don't like. So out by the road, we've got autumn sage or Salvia greggii. This is a little shrub. Oh, just above knee high or so. Beautiful red flowers that comes in pinks and whites, different colors to it, but it's got a salvia or sage kind of scent. Anytime you see the word sage or salvia, you know you've got a good plant for Arizona that animals don't eat, generally speaking. That's pretty much almost bulletproof. And so because of that herbally scent, they don't like that. So regular culinary herbs, they don't like. And they don't like salvia sages, meadow sages, autumn sages. They don't like anything with the word sage or salvia in it. They just leave them alone. And they bloom all the time. The birds like it. Hummingbirds love it. But the pack rats, the rabbits, the javelina, the deer, they don't like it. Behind that, a little bit larger, are Russian sage. This is a big blue, spiky kind of shrub. Gets up about, oh, hip high or so. It's maybe a foot taller than the autumn sage. So Russian sage, again, has a sagey. Anytime you hear the word sage, you know you're good to go. But blue flowers, blue and yellow flowers naturally attract pollinators. They can't resist them. Hummingbirds, butterflies, bumblebees, they love honeybees. They love blues and yellows. It's their natural thing that they like, they're attracted to. Well, our landscape, we're attracting pollinators. We want to bring them in. And so we like Russian sage because of that big, spiky, blue flower. So there's always activity out there right by the street. And the javelina, that's our main thing. Don't bother that. Behind that, we've got very tall junipers. Of course, junipers, we've got surrounded by juniper forests. So animals generally have learned, don't eat juniper unless you are so desperate. You just want a tummy ache or starve to death. Choose. I'll take the tummy ache every time. So they might nibble a little bit of that, but generally they'll move on. If there's anything else to eat, natural grasses, they will eat that over a juniper anytime. And so we've got this stair-stepped, beautiful, flowing, colorful screen so that we can screen the front street from the private patio. So you can read your newspaper while watching the hummingbirds play in the fountain in your jammies and not have to see a bunch of people. You don't feel intimidated. I don't know. It's just a thing. And so that's kind of how we've designed that. And so we're trying to keep javelina. Use plants. If you've got javelina, use plants. Javelina don't eat. If you've got deer, put plants that deer are less prone. We call it resistive because if they're desperate, they'll eat anything, including poisonous things. If you're desperate and you're just starving and you're losing weight and you know your little fawn is with you and you're worried about them, you're going to nibble on things you normally might not eat. This year, right now, the pressure's off a little bit. And so their natural habitat is filled with things that they naturally like. And so there's less deer and the bigger things eating stuff in the landscape, your landscape plants. Last year, they were terrible. And so there are some sprays. If you're in an area that has a lot of deer, so you've got a herd, your neighbors are feeding the deer or the javelina down the street, and they're just walking through your yard, nibbling on stuff as they go. There, if you're planting something new, just know they're going to try it. They're going to see that new thing planted in the yard, and they're going to try it just to see if it's good or bad, and then they'll keep moving on. So if you're in that kind of spot, plant it. You might even try to fence it if you could, but at least they make a repellent called Repels All. Repel, like the word repel, and all, repels all, plural, spritz that on the foliage where it just smells and tastes bad automatically, knowing that they're going to come and check it out. They don't like repels all. It's garlic. Sometimes they'll put some peppers in it. It has rotten eggs. It's all the stuff they don't like. But you're masking this new plant. So you put a new rose. Roses, they're going to like to nibble on, at least the buds especially. If you're planting a new rose and you've got javelina and deer and rabbits out there in your yard, just get a bottle. It's part of the cost of putting that plant in the ground. You should probably always have a bottle of Repelzol in the garage that you can plant spritz. Spritz the foliage so that they can't smell it. In my front yard, where the javelina are digging up the front bark, I'm sure they're after grubs and worms and things. They're after the insects in the soil. They also make a Repelzol in granular form. So there I'll sprinkle that over top of the bark mulch so that when they rubble through or turn over this soil, they get the stuff in their nose and go, no, oh, that's nasty. What'd they do to this soil? This is terrible. Hey, Joey, let's go down the street. We'll go tear up their gardens. Let's do that. Okay, let's do it. Okay. As javelina do. I don't know if that's the voice javelina should have, but today's show is official. It's going over the airwaves. But javelina, just get them to move on. You don't want them getting used to digging up your yards. And then I'll kill off the grubs or the whatever that food source is. There's a granular, kind of like a fertilizer. You sprinkle it on. It goes to the soil. It kills off the insects. So if I don't have the food there for the javelina and I put the Repelzol down that repels them, I'm not going to have problems. I've got electric fence, 8 feet into the properties going through the property, through the gardens. They're not going to bother us. So anyway, that's some ideas. I've got javelina and deer and rabbit resistive lists, plant lists here at the Garden Center. They're free. Ask for one. We'll walk you through, show you what you can plant in your yard if you've got issues with wildlife in your backyard.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott, 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Gardener. I grew up in the family business with my three sisters, and I've raised four of my own kids in the same garden center. Waters isn't just another business in town. This is part of our home, an extension of who we are. My family spends more time here than we do at home. It's basically an extension of our living room. We just have more friends over than most. My name is Lisa Waters Lane, and you'll feel welcomed, peaceful, and at home here at Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road, here in Prescott. Hi, Lisa with the Plants of the Week and our instant Raywood Ash.
Raywoods are known for their handsome fall foliage that turns colors of red to royal purple. Just stunning.
The leaves have a fine texture which add a softness to harsh rock yard.
At $120, these instant trees are magnificent. 12 feet tall with a 6-foot spread. You won't have to wait for this tree to grow up.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love instant trees, they love to shop. You've tuned in to The Mountain Gardener with local garden expert Ken Lane. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions that are sure to make a difference in your gardens. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
So we are breaking down this whole supply chain thing you're hearing about. It's a real thing. And so we're trying to get ahead of this. And so we had half of our 2022 pottery is here at the Garden Center. Arrived this week, arrived on Thursday. We're starting to unpack it. Might take a few days to get it all out and price. This is like a full semi of big. We specialize in resort size or large home size pots. Not just containers. I guess you can't use the word pot anymore over the airwaves. Containers. So we're not growing pot. We're growing containers, growing in containers. And so these are big pots that don't crack in the winter. It's kind of tricky. A lot of your containers, as if they hold a lot of moisture in that clay, whatever the material is made out of, and that water freezes and then thaws, that expansion and then contraction causes havoc on pottery and concrete and this kind of stuff. So the pots will start to crack or flake, or the colors come off, or the paint flakes off. This is Mexican clay. Your terracotta, Italian clay, or red German clays, terrible from the mountains of Arizona. You don't want to garden in those. Or if you do, it's only for the summer, and you're emptying those and storing those, keeping them dry underneath the deck or in a garden shed to keep them from cracking. But these, we specialize. They are beautiful. They're pieces of art, and they don't crack. They're made, and they're larger than normal. So anyone can have a little tiny pot that's ugly. We have stylish pots that are beautiful, and you can plant trees in them, or it's not, they're not all big. There's some smaller ones too. And then we've got another load coming next month in November. We're doubling down, trying to keep up. We have not had pottery for 2 months. And finally, again, the supply thing, it was stuck. That Suez Canal thing was terrible. That ship that got stuck and clogged up the Suez Canal for, I don't know, a week, 10 days? It wasn't that long. It just put hiccups, ripples throughout the country. And so now you got containers stuck, ships stuck off of Newport Beach trying to get unloaded. We've been waiting for 3 weeks to get this pottery to us. It was here, just off the shore. We couldn't get to it. Well, it's finally here. And then we're doubling down to make sure we don't run out again. So we do a lot of hundreds and hundreds, if not more, of pretty containers. So it's kind of one thing that we're famous for, and no one else does it really well. So it's just exciting. Spring 2022, it's sort of starting to happen. So we get a lot of shipments coming in now through the end of the year, gearing up for the spring season that starts usually here in the mountains about February or so. So after mid into February, the weather starts to break, the cold is done, and it just starts to take off. It can still snow, it's still frosting, but things are in bloom. You can tell the plants are waking up and actively growing. Well, we're gearing up for that. And so we're getting ready now. So it should be an interesting year. It's going to be our 60th anniversary. That's part of it too. When a business, a small business, has been around for 60 years in one community. So 1962, Waters Garden Center, my father-in-law, Harold Waters, started Waters Garden Center. This is a big deal. I'm trying to get Harold to come in. I'll do some interviews or something with him. He's still going. He still comes in and visits and is proud of his business he built and then passed on to his children. And now his children's children are now taking 60 years of history. This is powerful stuff and very rare. I think 3% of businesses go that long past to the third generation. It's a very, very elite group. And so we're planning some big things. March 13th, 14th, 15th, I think that's the week prior to spring, we've got some big events we're planning. Even already, this is some of that inventory that helps us celebrate that. But you can still plant. Good time to plant trees and shrubs. Boy, the soil is super easy to work in. Here at Waters Garden Center. Throughout the week, Lisa and I camp out here at Waters Garden Center. Love answering garden questions and talking to fans of the show.
Some stores are meant to dash into, hunt down your purchase, and leave promptly.
It's part of our 24/7 cyber world where it's difficult to decompress, slow down, and enjoy the environment.
We miss the tactile experiences, fragrance, and enjoyment that come from slowing down and admiring the majesty of something as simple as a butterfly.
Waters has elevated lingering to an art form with experiential pauses built into the very DNA of the garden center.
We're designed purposefully for leisurely strolls through the many greenhouses that beckon guests to enjoy the plants.
We work tirelessly to craft an environment that aesthetically reflects the cycle of the seasons.
When you finally have a plant question, one of Waters' plant ambassadors are here to help you choose plants that will thrive in your landscape.
Decompress and learn how to linger in the garden once again. Here at Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
For people who love to slow down in the garden, they love to shop. If you want a more fruitful garden, increase success in your landscape that just feels better, then tune in every week to The Mountain Gardener. Years of tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts are guaranteed to make your gardens nicer than ever. Listen to this podcast or read Ken's weekly garden column by visiting watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com. Thanks for tuning in.